a little time proposing just two examples, of which there are so many. And so a second one now we're thinking of is the National Shrine to the Little Flower. And that's actually very, very close to where I am. And they too, I have links to them. But let me just read straight out of the book, because I thought the author did a beautiful job summarizing it. Inspired by a visit with Mother Agnes and Sister Celine, the two surviving blood sisters of St. Therese of Lisieux, Father Raymond Gomez began construction of this sanctuary to the saint of the Little Way in 1927. This is in San Antonio. Dedicated 4 years later, the discalced Carmelite shrine architecture shows a combination of Romanesque and mission styles. The church is flanked by two towers, the larger of which is 160 foot in height, and has a carillon of six bells. Its companion is surmounted by a 1,000-pound bronze statue of the Little Flower. Rising above the center of the church is a majestic 32-foot dome. The main altar is a masterpiece in marble. Dominating it is the Gloria, which depicts the cross of Christ, beneath which Our Lady of Mount Carmel is seen with the Christ child on her lap. St. Therese is shown receiving from them roses, which she will shower on her clients as graces. The tomb chapel, a replica of that at Lisieux, France, has a sepulcher containing a life-sized, hand-carved image of the body of the Little Flower. And her face has the death mask that the sisters made at Therese's passing. It is just a gem of a place to visit. And in the crypt, there's a museum of sorts. And, you know, we can all check to see if they have a holy door. At this recording, I don't know that they do. If by the time I edit and upload it and I find that, I'll just put that in the notes. But that's always something you can check on as well.
I think in general with holy doors, I would hope that almost every cathedral in every diocese ought have one.
Oh, I would think so. And I would be surprised if this place, given its prominence, doesn't have it. But, right. You know, right. The yeah. Old adage, one should always check.
Yeah, trust but verify.
trust but verify is correct. That is right. And of course, there at the Little Flowers Basilica website, they have a whole menu there of how to plan a pilgrimage to them. And because it is very, very popular for that. Mm-hmm. So, a local day or perhaps farther afield, perhaps we're homebound. So, this is
where I was saying before that, you know, you can't take a vacation in the middle of a pilgrimage, but you can take a pilgrimage in the middle of a vacation, right? So if a family was desirous of going to a place like to go on pilgrimage to for them, right? So what I was just going to say that if you're going to go to San Antonio, right, because that city is just a very, very beautiful city, it would be lovely to, during the midst of a family vacation, prioritize your faith and bring your children to an awareness that even in the midst of these family vacations that are good and rejuvenating of our temporal being, that it's always imperative that we focus on not just our temporal end, but on our supernatural end. And so to combine a vacation with a pilgrimage is actually a very lovely and very, very Catholic thing to do. So, you know, anytime that we go abroad or anytime that we go to travel, it's important that we look to see where there is some place where we might be able to make some small pilgrimage, so that that becomes part and parcel of a really good Catholic vacation, right? A Catholic vacation should be something other than just a trip to Disneyland, right? It should be something that is integral to the human person, you know, growing of the human mind and the soul. We should be looking upon things that are beautiful, good, beautiful, and true. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have fun and laugh and do things like that. I mean, we're not robots, you know, we're not automatons or anything like that. But it does mean that we should be looking to something more. And to include something like that would be a very beautiful thing. The same thing would be true about going up to the Shrine of Our Lady. The resources in Wisconsin are naturally beautiful. You're very, very close to the Great Lakes. You know, there's just many, many beautiful things that you could do on vacation there, and then make the heart of your vacation be a pilgrimage to these holy places.
Exactly right. So what about those who would be watching, perhaps, or all of us, perhaps at some point in our life, if we're given this opportunity at, you know, towards the end of our life, then we're not able to leave, you know, we're homebound or prohibited in some other way. I found this book, The Past as Pilgrimage, A Narrative Tradition and the Renewal of Catholic History, to have a little snip of an idea. It's written by Christopher Shannon and Christopher O. Bloom. At least I know the second author very, very well. And which, believe it or not, ties into Alistair McIntyre's After Virtue, the third edition. So they kind of were companion peers like that. And it's this concept that we can go from within ourselves. So as an example, we could pick up our confirmation saint, and we recall in our past that the Holy Spirit drew us to him or her for a particular reason, right? And that this person was to be a model for our own spirituality throughout our life. So just that change of the mind, okay, I want to focus in, I want to spend some time with my confirmation saint. We have now come into the communal life of the church through ritualized memory. And that is a feature of a pilgrimage, is that we have this ritualized memory of some apparition, some healings, whatever is attached to this place. We're entering into the church through the ordinary who gave approval. And now we're starting to orient our own self towards these ideas. Okay. And I think that can be really, really very powerful. And so Sarah's right. We need to set up a place. And if to the extent that is possible, you know, given one's situation, a holy place, a sacred place, if one is able, if we're focusing on a certain saint, you know, in the ways that we can, we bring up images as reminders, or if they compose songs, we listen to those songs or songs about them or songs for them. You know, a lot of us have Our Lady as confirmation saints, and there is a wealth, Salve Regina, you know, Immaculate Mary, right? You know,
really, the well won't run dry there.
There is none. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So the mind can really start to work. And if you will, you'll know that this is your day that you've set, or days, depending on what your situation is, or moments, depending on your health, whatever. But it's still a set aside time,
right?
And to the extent that you can make your environment feel different, seem different, as Sarah was saying, that really does put us in a different sort of place. And it connects us back to Holy Mother Church. So that no one can really be left without this really great opportunity.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's just so many other resources online now, right? I mean, many of these holy places may have, you know, a mass that's going on, you know, or adoration that they are willing to show online, you know. I mean, it's obviously not the ideal, but, you know, anything that allows us to enter into the heart of faith is, can only be a good, right? When it anything that elevates the mind and the soul to Christ, these, I don't know how, all the things that are good, beautiful, and true, meditate upon these, right? Isn't that what St. Augustine said? You know, anything that can lift your heart and your soul to the Lord, these are good things. And, you know, he recommends them to us to really hold fast to those traditions so that we can always be entering into the truth and the goodness, the beauty, and the truth that our Lord has left for us through his incarnation.
That's exactly right. The chief means of moral education is the telling of stories. So we're immersing ourselves in these stories, these places, these experiences, so whatever. And by immersing oneself in the story, one becomes part of a living tradition, which is a part of the definition of the church, which is socially embodied. So it isn't a me and Jesus thing. God the Father to St. Catherine of Siena in the dialogues. He designed us so that we would need others to come to him. Right. We aren't an island, and we purposely are not an island.
Right.
And so within a tradition, the Catholic tradition, the pursuit of goods, virtues, wisdom, so forth, extends through generations, sometimes many generations. And this is a true past as pilgrimage. So we leave that as sort of an exhortation to you. You know, we're coming here, winding down 2024, beginning of 2025, and to start to consider meaningfully how to make a pilgrimage in your situation, wherever that may be.
Right, absolutely, because there are so many graces to be had. You know, don't leave them in the bank.
That's right. Don't be like the miraculous medal. That was another thing that came up. I forget, to St. Catherine Laborite. Why are there dark, why aren't rays coming out from all your fingers? Why is this dark space? Graces weren't asked for.
Yes.
Ask for them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think I said that to a friend, when our Lord makes you a beggar, beg for graces.
Beg. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, friends, that's some consideration for pilgrimages. Till the next time, fides et ratio.